Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Nehemiah chapter 12. So Nehemiah chapter 12, next week is Nehemiah chapter 13, which is the final chapter. And then we begin the book of Esther after that, Lord willing. So next week we look for Esther chapter 1. Well, as we move on in our reading through the Old Testament, good times. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, these are the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, Seraiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Amariah, Maluch, Hattush, Shechaniah, Rehum, Meremoth, Iddo, Ginnetho, Abijah, Miamin, Maadiah, Bilgah, Shemaiah, and Joirib, Jediah, Salu, Amok, Hilkiah, Jediah. These were the chief of the priests and of their brethren in the days of Jeshua. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brethren. Also, Bakbukiah and Uni, their brethren, were over against them in the watches. And Jeshua begat Joiakim. Joiakim also begat Eliashib, and Eliashib begat Joiada. And Joiada begat Jonathan, and Jonathan begat Jaddua. And in the days of Joiakim were priests, the chief of the fathers, of Seraiah, Meraiah, of Jeremiah, Hananiah, of Ezra, Meshullam, of Amariah, Jehohanan, of Malikiu, Jonathan, Shebaniah, Joseph, of Harim, Adna, of Merioth, Elkai, of Iddo, Zechariah, of Ginnathon, Meshullam, of Abijah, Zikri, of Miniamin, of Moadiah, Piltai, of Bilgah, Shammua, of Sheremiah, Jehonathan, and of Joirib, Mattani, of Jediah, Uzi, of Salai, Kalai, of Amok, Eber, of Hilkiah, Hashabiah, of Jediah, Nathanael. The Levites in the days of Eliashib, Joiada and Johanan and Jaddua were recorded chief of the fathers, also the priests to the reign of Darius the Persian. The sons of Levi, the chief of the fathers, were written in the book of the Chronicles, even until the days of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren, over against them to praise and to give thanks, according to the commandment of David the man of God, ward against ward, Mattaniah and Bakbukiah, Obadiah, Meshullam, Talmon, Akub, were porters keeping the ward at the thresholds of the gates. These were in the days of Joiakim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and in the days of Nehemiah the governor and Ezra the priest, the scribe. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing and with cymbals, psalteries and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Netophati. Also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Azmavet, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hoshaiah and half of the princes of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra and Meshullam, Judah and Benjamin, and Shemaiah and Jeremiah, and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah, and Azarel, and Milalai, and Gilalai, and Ma'ai, and Nethaneel, and Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra, the scribe, before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall, above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnaces, even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Maah, even unto the sheep gate. And they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, I guess his name is, let's see, Micaiah, yeah, Elioenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, and Eleazar, and Uzi, and Jehohanan, and Malchijah, and Elam, and Ezer. And their singers sang loud with Jezrahiah, their overseer. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives and also the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters, every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I apologize for mispronouncing a couple of those names. We ended up that there are times when you're looking down at the page and the spellings are quite similar, but they're just a little bit different. And so I don't make excuse, but I need to do better in that. All right. So in this passage, then, we have all of these names and places again, like we had in the last chapter. And so we want to just make sure that we understand that all of these people were verified, they were vetted in their places. They were true Levites that ministered in and around the holy things. They were true Aaronites that ministered with regard to the sacrifices. There were men of Judah that were part of the civil establishment that gave of their substance also to the maintenance of certain portions of the Levites. Three times in this chapter, we're going to hear, I think it's three, it might have been four, but at least three times in this chapter, as an overview, we hear that when they put something into place, they looked to the Word of God to put it into place. With regard to, okay, here are the priests and the Levites, what are they supposed to do? Let's see what the Bible says. And so they saw in the Bible where David had commanded this thing or that thing. Notice that not only did they use the instruments that David had commanded, they used the songs that David had commanded, and they ministered according to the commandment of David in the way that they ministered. Now, if you'll remember, up to the time of David, I know this is going to sound shocking to some of you, perhaps you haven't heard this before, but up to the time of David, there was no music attached to the worship of God. No music. There is simply no Bible record of any command of God pertaining to the use of either instruments or voices, vocalization in singing to God during worship. None. And we do have, I think, probably at least one for sure, Psalm 90, but maybe a few beyond that, that were Mosaic psalms that may have been sung at certain times. However, we have no record of it. No command in Scripture for them to be used. No instruments to be set up. The only two instruments that we have that are set up before the days of David are two silver trumpets that Moses was told to tell the children of Israel to make in Numbers chapter 10, so that every month when they had a holy convocation, that is a worship service, they would blow the trumpets over their sacrifices. That's it. Then in the days of David, when the ark came to rest, you remember we've talked about this before, there was an explosion of music because the Levites no longer had an ark to carry on their shoulders. Rather, they carried the song of the worship in the temple. And so during the sacrifices, there was a 288-member Levitical choir and orchestra that played instruments and sang while the sacrifices were going on in the temple at Jerusalem. And then after the sacrifices ceased, the musical instruments stopped playing and the choir continued to sing at various times throughout the rest of their worship. And that's detailed for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Now what's so very important about all that and how it pertains here to this chapter is that during the days of the restoration, when the temple was rebuilt and put into practice, notice that they did not innovate. They did not make up new worship practices. They had a prophet and a scribe there. His name was Ezra. He's the man that we believe collated, edited, and then wrote the rest of the Old Testament and brought all the rest of it together in the days of the restoration and put it into its final form in and around the close of the canon with maybe one or two exceptions beyond his time. Okay? And even having Ezra there, Ezra did not say, okay, let's get up now and put it and lay aside what David established and do something else in our day because we've had this great restoration. No, that's not what they did. They looked back to the Bible that they had, the Hebrew Bible that they had, and they looked up what was the command of God's prophet regarding worship, and that's what they put in place. And three times in this passage, when it says, according to the commandment of David, that's exactly what it means. And notice that that pertains to the Levites, the music, and the choir. In the last chapter, and in the chapters before, we've heard Moses' name mentioned also, because Moses was the prophet that God had chosen to reveal the sacrificial system to the Israelites and the ordering of the priesthood. And so they looked to Moses for that. And they looked to David as to how they might continue the biblical practice of worship. And that becomes very clear in the restoration as we read Nehemiah chapters 10, 11, and 12. Okay? So that's what we see here. Then the other thing that we see is a civil celebration. Not only did they have the worship of God and all of that put into place, but they also had a civil celebration because the wall was completed. Now I want to make sure you understand when it says that he called the nobles of Judah and he said we were up on the wall together. That, you know, the wall is not a 6-inch wide thing. You know, they're not like that. The wall is something wide enough for people to walk in formation across the top of the wall. It's a thick, perhaps as thick as 12 or 15 feet at the top of the wall, maybe as thick as 20 at the bottom of the wall. Okay. And so When you talk about a wall, it's something that really does keep out the enemy unless they have some huge engine developed where they can break it up. And normally what they would do instead in ancient warfare is instead of breaking up a wall, they would actually begin building a ramp to surmount the wall. It was easier to go over the wall than through the wall, in other words. That's the kind of structure that we're talking about. And so the Judahites are up on top of the wall. Nehemiah is with one company. Ezra is with the other. And they go to the left and to the right, and they set themselves in array, and they have what we might call a civil celebration that the wall of Jerusalem is completed with its gates and bars, and the temple set up inside, and everything is set up. And so the city of Jerusalem itself is rejoicing in this civil kind of fashion. And what do they do when they rejoice? They sing. And what are they singing? The Levites take the lead and lead them in the worship or in the singing of these celebratory psalms, praising the Lord for His goodness, drawing them together, giving them a city, protecting that city, and protecting them as they build. And so that's what's going on here. And it says that they had such great rejoicing that it was heard a long way off. That there were those out in the villages around Jerusalem that heard their singing. Now, may I say it this way with regard to application? They had received something that was unheard of. They were a people led into captivity, and after 70 years of captivity, they came back, and when they came back, they didn't give up, they restored. The Lord was with them, and they restored their city. Even in the face of great opposition, as we've seen in our reading up to this time, from within and from without. And so when they came to that, when it was completed, they rejoiced, which is fitting, right, and proper. But may I say to you that the benefits that we have received as the people of God in the days of the New Testament, having the gospel preached and believed and having the Lord Jesus Christ as the King and head of the church, is far beyond the blessings of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day. And so our rejoicing ought to be heard a long way off. Right? Okay. Well, let's stand then and continue praising God.